Preparing to live stream the meeting. I am. I swear, Bastet, I really am. You're stuck. Please don't move. Please don't pull. Right on. And we are live.
Awesome. Is it getting recorded too?
Is it getting recorded too? You know, that is a good question. he wants me to work. He would. Yeah. You know, we're just, record. There's the record button. Record. Of course we're recording.
Cool.
You hear that too, Jason? It even said recording in progress.
Yes.
So for those of you guys who are just tuning in now, if you're just tuning in now, so it says in the bottom again that I'm Mountain Gypsy. She is not able to make it today, so I have to play Mountain Gypsy, who is usually the one that goes live and hits the record button and everything, and clearly I don't do that well. So bear with me for any errors in my ways. So does anybody feel like they can watch the chat in case we get a question?
Okay.
I can do it. I already have it up.
Okay.
Well, he said he can do that and talk at the same time. I was one person because I cannot do that and talk at the same time. No. So we were a little late. We'll give it a minute or so to get started. So I will use this as a time for housekeeping. So we are 50% of the Bitchy Witchies. So we've got Jason Altair Duquesne and myself, Bella Luna. I am not Mountain Gypsy. Mountain Gypsy had a small emergency, and so she is unable to join us. And Hestia is actually doing a lot of life things. She's going to be MIA.
You froze.
Yeah, you should repeat all that because you froze and I don't hear anything except from your mouth. Why is the colors different? Like, my background is yellow and your background is purple.
So did I totally cut out?
Yes, you even froze like a statue for a minute.
Oh, well, that didn't help. So how far did I get?
Not very.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me start again then. We have half of the Bitchy Witchies here. We have Jason Gypsy had an emergency, so she could not be with us today. She is fine, but she does have something that she needs to take care of, so she's not able to join us today. And Miss Hestia Rose is doing life stuff. She's actually going to be MIA from our channel for the entire month of July, but she will return in August. So we do have a guest. We have Clyde Darkfang. So let's welcome Hello. Back Clyde Darkfang. So before we get into what we are going to talk about, I actually want to take a moment to welcome Clyde back. For those that have been subscribers to our channel that have followed along, you know that Clyde was he was incapacitated for a little bit, and he is now back. So I told everybody, you know, back about a month ago, you know, I said many thanks to all of the wonderful support that he got, but I want to give him a chance to say something if he'd like.
I just want to say thank you to everybody who participated in helping me get better, because being in the hospital for that long was a huge pain. And it feels good to be home. It feels good to be back in this space specifically. And it feels good to be with my wife again.
Yes.
Yes.
Love it.
Awesome. So with that, let's get into our topic for the day. So what we wanted to talk about today, the title is Addiction and the Occult. And really, that is broad on purpose because there's so many different things we can talk about that. Did I freeze again?
Yes. All right. So while we figure out what's going on, Jason, me and you have a similar addiction, and it's nicotine, honestly. Like, oh, that is so hard. But me, myself, am a recovering addict from coke, pills, and morphine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I was on coke for 9 years, I was on morphine for 7 years, and I was just in the popping pills doing something called a fishbowl for 5 years.
I am now the host. Okay.
Were you guys having trouble?
A little bit, yeah.
Technical difficulties. Apologies, everybody.
Yeah, but transferred the host over to me, so I had to hit record again.
I'm just glad it didn't transfer it over to me, because I would have had no clue what I was doing.
So with the subject of addiction and the occult, you know, again, it's going to be pretty broad. I that title is pretty generic for a reason, because there's a lot of different things that we can talk about with that. So I would actually like to open it up to our guest, because I know as soon as he heard that we were going to be talking about this subject, he had a million things that he wanted to discuss. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Clyde.
All right. Well, to start it off, there is something that I offer to people who are interested. I offer something like a camp counselor program, you know, if you want to talk to somebody who's a recovering addict themselves and talk to them about your addictions. I will have somebody, one of these two, put my information down below in the description. So that way then, you know, if anybody wants to contact me, my information is down there and my links are down there. And I also, just, you know, me being experienced in all of this, if you need someone to talk to about literally anything under the sun, I'm here. I'm open. My inbox is always open until like 2:00 in the morning, Central Standard Time. So, yeah, hit me up if you need me.
For sure. That's awesome.
You said you wanted to kind of share your experiences with addiction and maybe what the occult has, what magical practice has done for you in regards to that.
Oh, my experiences. I started doing drugs when I was 12. It started with cocaine, and then it jumped to cigarettes, and then it jumped to alcohol, and I was abusing alcohol at the age of 14, you know, slamming back bottle after bottle, and I was a little bit of an alcoholic for a while, and then it went to morphine, and then it just went to me popping pills. But I was still doing coke and morphine and pills and spice. Yeah, K2 is really, really bad. I do not recommend it to anybody. Like, that stuff will mess you up big time. Like, K2, if anybody is wondering, it's these little ground up leaves from somebody's garden that are just sprayed down with all kinds of chemicals, bug killer, pesticides, freaking bamboo, food. Ooh. And, you know, basically you can imagine it and you can find it under your sink. It's sprayed with it.
Ooh.
So did you, is that what made you turn to the occult to begin with? Or was it just kind of, it was just an accident, or like, how did it help you?
Well, it gave me another outlet to release my frustrations. Because magical practice, as you know, can be very emotionally overwhelming, and it can also be very emotionally draining. So I figured that if I jumped from my addictions to magical practice, and my magical practice also helped me when I was in rehab. So I figured, hey, why not continue it, you know?
Yeah, with me, like, I've been, I kind of went through a bout of where I started, like, day drinking and stuff, too. And I had it in my head because, like, for me, like, anxiety is, like, so crippling, and it's so crippling to my magical energy, because it's, like, like, you know, you can kind of sometimes use it, turn that weakness into a strength, as energy from negative emotion can be just as strong. But also, like, magic requires focus and clarity of mind, which I felt like I couldn't really achieve with anxiety. So, like, I would, I was kind of covering that up with, like, I would wake up in the morning and, like, want to do my meditations and stuff, and I would be taking, like, a couple of shots to help me with that. And then, like, it would just kind of escalate from there. And it got to the point where, like, by the end of the day, I was, like, really drunk and was, like, calling people, crying and shit.
And that's a really good point, because I think that, you know, when it's really important what you said, that the mental clarity that's required in magical practice. And so, you know, I think when people start having to battle addictions when they're already practicing, you know, I think that's probably one of the first, I mean, obviously life in general, you know, I'm sure it's affected, but I think you can more easily or more quickly recognize the impact, maybe, dare I say, maybe even before your regular life impact, because you can hide at least for a little bit, you know, from the people you love. You can maybe get away with things at work for a little bit, things at school for a little bit, but right. Almost immediately you notice the effects in your magical practice, because suddenly you're discombobulated. Things aren't manifesting like they usually do. You know, you're sometimes confused, or you get more easily frustrated, or, you know, number of different things. And I do want to take a second to say, we're not talking about the use of those enhancers for ritual purposes or whatnot. we're not saying that there's anything wrong with that. You know, in a controlled environment, when you are under control, you know, that's one thing. We're talking about when it starts moving into an addiction, because when it starts moving into an addiction, that's now a point where you've lost control.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a whole different circumstance then to your magical practice.
Right. Or even people who want to use like certain stimulants and stuff because like they feel like it enhances the energy. I've seen to where like that kind of becomes an addiction to where like they feel like that they cannot practice without it.
Ritual that needs like my complete and total mental focus on that exact ritual. I do smoke a little weed every now and then just to get myself in the right headspace to be fully focused. Cause I don't know what it is. When I smoke weed, I turn into laser focus. Like, as weird as it sounds.
I froze again, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Keep going.
Oh, and we're also not talking about like, you know, getting into the magical practice because of your addiction, or are we talking about that?
That's a good point, though.
I have to say, from experience, trying to do practices and spells and rituals while you're detoxing is a horrible idea.
Oh yeah,
that is absolutely horrid. Like as you're vomiting, you're like, oh. Because you're trying to focus and then you're constantly running to the toilet because you're coming off opiates and everything else. Oh, it's a nightmare.
Oh yeah. Like I think with my mom, when, my mom had issues with like alcoholism and opiates and, and I think that's actually what kind of killed her from practicing. Cause like when she met my stepdad, she kind of just like stopped practicing and they just like to party a lot. But then, when my mom would just like, when she actually like became like a full blown alcoholic, then like she just stopped practicing. Like she just stopped giving a fuck. Which is sad too, because like I've seen it happen on that end, like people who are already practitioners and then like they get hooked on something, then it could actually like kill it for them.
So was she ever able to overcome that, and then did she use her practice to help her overcome?
I wish she did. I really I guess back in the day, like when she and my dad like first met, she had issues with it too, but she used her practice to kind of empower herself and get over it. And my dad got her to stop drinking for a really long time, but then like she was good with it, and then she would be like, okay, well, you know, like the kids are in school, like do you mind like if, you know, we go have a beer? And like that one beer turned into like six, turned into like a keg, turned into like vodka and whiskey.
Wow. I noticed though, at least since I've been exposed to social media, that it seems like that there are people who that's how they found their way to the occult. You know, for whatever reason, and there's multiple different reasons I can only imagine that, and one of them I think is what you brought up, the empowerment, you know, that they turn to the occult to help give them the strength and the focus and the clarity to release themselves from that addiction. Because that's a type of binding that you know, could be, for obvious reasons, can be very destructive. Mm-hmm. And so just like some people turn to martial arts and some people turn to yoga or whatever, I guess, you know, some people turn to the occult and the magical practice for that sense of discipline and empowerment.
Right. Right. That,
so I had the luxury of being a magical practitioner before I found my addictions.
But you were able, instead of letting it, I mean, I guess it did affect your practice for a little bit, but I mean, you were able to use it to help you. It was, that was your escape from your addiction, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Because even when I was, especially when I was in rehab, like I was doing my magical practice to help me make it through the program, and it helped.
Yeah, it
does. Like, even with me, with like my most recent stuff, like I never thought that I would have issues with alcohol. Like, this is like the first time, just like within these past couple of months, where like I started having issues with it, and I feel like it was kind of like pulling me away from my craft more.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. And but like you said, like, you know, when about your mom and stuff, unfortunately, it's not the panacea, you know, solution to everything, but it can for those who it can be, then it's a very powerful thing. And I think that it, you know, like what Clyde was saying, to his point, you know, it only strengthened him in it, his resolve. And his practice got even more so afterwards. So
for sure.
That makes a lot of sense. There was one thing that you brought up before we started about talking about the opposite, which is not getting into the occult because of an addiction to something else, but somebody actually becoming addicted to magical practice.
Oh yeah. Like I've seen people like using like tarot cards or divination. Like they would like literally just sit there for like hours and hours just doing all this divination or readings, trying to like find out like what happens next. And I think like people can just kind of get into that mindset to where like they can get addicted to like the power, the outcome, and they just like start using their magical
practice. I didn't really say that's an addiction to power. I say it's addiction to knowledge.
I mean, you know, and that's kind of what I was thinking.
Knowledge is power, though. Knowledge is power.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking along those same lines too. Is that becomes a little bit more muddier because, you know. In some ways, you can say that's a good addiction, but at the same time, I think any time that something overpowers or something becomes your primary focus, you know, where you become more obsessive about it, I think that's where things can start becoming unhealthy. You know, I think it goes back to what we always talk about balance.
Right.
You know,
it's like. Because like one can say that I'm addicted to the craft, because like even being from a magical family, like no one has like as I don't feel like they're as into it as I am. Like they have other hobbies and stuff that are outside of it, whereas I don't. It's like literally my one thing.
Right. Yeah. But I think it's, again, you know, going back to that balance, it's always making sure, you know, that you are not getting to a point where it becomes unhealthy or obsessive to where you're being unrealistic with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm going to use an example that's probably not very realistic. It's going to be a little bit of hyperbole just to prove the point, though, is that, you know, we all know that magical practice has to go along with the mundane work, right? It's not Harry Potter. But at the same time, you know, somebody who becomes just really, really obsessed with it, you know, like they may think, well, I don't need to eat, so I'm going to put a spell on me so that I don't have to eat for 48 hours so I can keep practicing. You know, at that point, it becomes like unrealistic and unhealthy, you know,
right.
It's always actually, and I hate to say the word because I'm not a big fan of using the word always and never, but I mean, it really should, the vast majority of the time, really be about balance. You know, magic is a wonderful, empowering thing, but it's still not the panacea answer to everything.
Right. What does panacea mean?
It means all inclusive, like the global.
Oh, okay. Also, Jason, can you lift your mic up a little bit? I can hear you breathing heavily into it.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah, is that better?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I just heard like that.
Oh.
Well, thank you for the demonstration. So, have you, either of you, have you ever been approached to do magical workings to help somebody break an addiction?
Yes.
Not yet.
You want to tell us about it, Jason?
Yeah. So, yeah, like I have people coming to me kind of wanting, I have this one lady who, she basically like wanted an exorcism almost to help break free from an alcohol addiction, which what I do generally is I do like a cleansing, and I could help with like a binding to kind of help tone down like their need for it. But what it ultimately is just like a lot of like counseling, like more so just like spiritual counseling.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
And kind of like finding like the root cause of it. So like if it has to do with like fear or anxiety, then we would do like a magical working to help kind of break them of that fear, that anxiety, to help relinquish it, and then just like a lot
exactly.
of spiritual counseling with it. But I have had people who think like I can just, you know, like snap my fingers or twinkle my nose and then suddenly like they're free from their addiction. And
yeah,
also a lot of herbal remedies too, like herbal remedies kind of help with like the detoxing, something that's, I don't want to say like a replacement, but kind of it helps.
Speaking of an herbal remedy for your addiction, what I've been smoking now is something called mullein.
Put your microphone down a little bit. There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been smoking an herb called mullein, and it's actually made my breathing a lot better. So, yeah, smoke that.
I have some mullein too. But like, one.
I mean, it does help though.
Right. Well, and like one of my remedies too is it helps ease a broken heart. So like if someone is like drinking out of depression, or they're using something out of, you know, depression, whether it be like grief or just a breakup or something, this remedy would actually like kind of help ease those feelings, like help with those feelings of like grief or sadness, to kind of make alcohol seem a little less appealing.
But, you know, going back to magic not being the panacea solution for everything, you know, that is definitely something to hit home with, in that is there a magical working, are there magical workings that can help with breaking addictions? Of course there is. In fact, actually, to partner with this episode, I actually am planning to do a video on breaking an addiction with a curse. But the most important thing is what you just mentioned, which is just doing that, snapping your fingers, that's not going to do it. And that's not how magic works for anything.
Yeah, you know, you have to, you have to put the mundane work into it.
Especially when it comes to addiction, that mundane work is delving down and finding the root cause, what drove you to that, whether it's addiction to drugs, addiction to sex, addiction to video games, addiction to hoarding, what have you. You know, what's that underlying core?
Right, exactly. And like, you have to really want to stop too.
Yeah.
Unless you want to, if someone is coming to you to like help break the addiction of someone else who doesn't think that they have a problem, like in my mind, like that would be good cause for like a curse almost on that person. Make it to where whenever they use, they get radically sick.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, even that, you know, I still think that that's almost like a Band-Aid. You know, I really truly believe everything that you just said, which is more so than ever, this is something where you really need to get to the root cause. And that, you know, we've talked about this before, how not every single working is simply that straightforward. Like, I'm just going to do a working and everything is all better. You know, sometimes things are that intricate. Why? Because we are on this earth. We are intricate creatures. You know, there's hardly anything that's just really that straightforward. And so most of our solutions to our problems, our issues, or our wants and our needs are going to be more than just wham, bam, done. It's a lot of times going to require steps to get that done. And I think this is probably one of the best examples is working towards healing addictions. Is that? Because even if you took out the magical practice, right? And, I just realized something. So I just introduced a movie to Kevin yesterday. We can kind of say this one was an addiction to violence, right? Clockwork Orange.
Oh.
So, yes, I saw that movie yesterday and I loved it.
So if you've not seen Clockwork Orange, it's about a man, a young man, who is very violent in nature. And he ended up killing, although by accident, he still ended up killing somebody, and he was sentenced to 40 years in prison. And then there was an experimental work that they were doing that they say, we can put you through this 2-week program. And when you get out of the program, you're going to be fit for society. And so he wanted to get into it. He got himself into the program. And what it was that it was a literal force through behavioral adjustments, you know, to where anytime that he had a thought of doing violence, something violent, he would get physically immensely sick. And so of course it worked, right? Of course it worked.
Well, it wasn't just an aversion to violence, it was an aversion to sexual acts as well,
right? Yeah, well, I mean, but his sexual acts were violent sexual acts. It was rape. But the point being is that did you fix the issue at hand? Yeah, I guess you can say that you did, but did you fix the issue within him? No, you didn't. all you did was cause something else, like you just mentioned. You know, you can curse somebody so that they get violently ill if they are thinking about, you know, doing XYZ drug. But did that really fix the issue? You know,
no,
not really. It didn't really fix the right. issue. And at some point, unless you continue and reinforce workings, at some point it's going to come back because you never truly addressed the cause.
Right, so exactly.
To me, it's going back to the root cause.
Right, exactly. And
you ever heard the saying that if you're raised by an addict, you become an addict?
I think it can. I think there can be a genetic component for it.
Yeah.
Like the addictive personality. But like I was just thinking too, like going back to addiction in general, or even like having an addiction to magical practice, I think what it really all comes down to is how it makes you feel. It's not necessarily the substance or the action, but it's like how it makes you feel. And that's how like people can get sure. addicted to things like food or
you're gonna have to keep going. I froze again.
Food or shopping, pornography, things like that. Cause like, it's not necessarily the substance, it's like how it makes you feel. And I think that's how people can sometimes get addicted to their magical practice too, because like of how it makes you feel, that, having that feeling of like empowerment or like, feeling like you can control someone else's fate, things like that. Like there's one movie, Confessions of a Shopaholic, where what she says in there, I think really helps define addiction. When she says like, I do it because it makes the world better, and then it's not anymore, so then I have to do it again.
Jason, is your nose bleeding?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because one side looks darker than the other side. That's why I was asking.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, sorry, I got cut out again. I don't know what's going on with my technology, but I did hear most of what you're saying. And it's true. I like that you brought that up, because I think that goes back to the root cause. It's like, of course people go to the addiction because of that temporary feel good feeling, but it's temporary. Like you said, they have to go back and do it again, because just like making somebody violently ill to break the addiction is temporary, so is the addiction itself. The feeling is temporary, and so the goal is the ultimate overall goal at the end of the day is to get down to the core reason, so that you're not having to do these temporary fixes one way or the other.
Right, exactly. Or what do they call it, chasing the dragon?
Yeah,
that's a specific thing. That's heroin.
Yeah, but still, oh. Same difference. It's the same concept. Yeah, I mean it's a little bit different in terms of the effects of heroin, but it's still kind of the same concept of, you know, it's especially why we see. Why one sees addictions get worse and worse and worse, because where three drinks may have done it, you know, for a time, after a while, three drinks is nothing. And then you got to move to five drinks, and then you got to move to seven drinks. And then, you know, it's like you start developing this tolerance, and, you know, because you're constantly chasing that initial numbness or happiness or whatever it was that was taking your original pain away.
That's what caused my addiction to worsen and worsen and worsen, because it started with cigarettes at the age of 12, and then it went to cocaine, and then it went to, you know, spice, and then it went to alcohol, and then it went to just popping pills, and then it went to morphine, and then it went to everything at once. Because once you start doing drugs and you start feeling that feeling, then you just keep looking for the bigger, better high and the bigger, better, longer lasting feeling.
And that makes sense because, you know, at 12 years old, it would make more sense that the cigarettes were your gateway drug, right? So it's like we laugh when people talk about marijuana, it's legal now, but it's still a gateway drug, you know? Yeah, it's kind of funny, and yes, it is legal, but I mean, they're not wrong, you know, for that same reason. I mean, it's not an incorrect statement. I mean, it's just all about what you do with that information, but...
Right. I guess even in looking in terms of the craft or the occult, you could kind of consider something like Wicca to be like a gateway drug.
Wicca, gateway drug. Okay, now here's the thing that I don't get, right?
Like in a sense.
Wicca is all supposedly about love and light and all this other stuff, right?
Well,
how does it jump from that to everything else involved in non-Abrahamic religions?
I'm not sure either, because
what you're talking about.
Like, you really have to,
You said that Wicca was a gateway drug, so let's talk about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
How, like, a lot of people, when it comes to their craft or their magical practice, I know a lot of people like tend to start off with Wicca or looking into Wiccan.
Oh, I see stuff. What you're saying. Okay. So it's the gateway drug towards witchcraft. Careful. Some televangelists might use that. I heard a witch once say it. They're right.
Oh yeah. That's true. it was a hypothetical.
Yeah. I get what you're saying now.
Well, I guess in a sense, like people could say that Harry Potter is a gateway drug. gateway drug for the occult. Like, how'd you get it? Like, how'd you get into witchcraft? Oh, Harry Potter.
There was this one person once that was a huge fan of Harry Potter. They asked me if a teleportation spell was a real thing.
Okay.
I said, no, magic does not work like that. What is wrong with your brain? I said those exact words. What is wrong with your brain?
Of course, having said that, though, science may one day work that way. They are working on that.
I actually delved into teleportation to see if there was any concrete evidence, and I found some bullshit that was conducted by the military or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's impossible to move through time and space without.
I mean,
right now.
I mean, if you smoke enough weed, you'll teleport through time. You know, you'll be sitting there spaced out for feel like it's 10 minutes and then it'll be 2 hours have gone by.
Right.
Well, again, I mean, and we're going to go, that is going to take us into a tangent that we will never be able to come back from, at least in this episode, if we go there, because absolutely time is relative.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different discussion, and save that thought, because we should have a whole separate episode on that. Because it's true, though.
I mean,
but going back to addiction, like yeah. So going back to, you know, the whole addiction thing, I think that much like what we said on the first episode, I really truly like that you said that and really truly believe it. You know, I stick to what I said in the first episode, which is I feel that magical practice is very empowering, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you suffer from an addiction, then at some point you recognize that you've lost control. You're no longer in control, and you know you've lost your power. And so I think that an occult practice helps bring those feelings back, where you are helping to regain your power, and that is very empowering. And it may not be for everybody, but for those who do practice or those who do turn to it, you know, it is a, I think, a very valid and viable road to go down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when, like, you're able to use the craft to really, like we said, like, kind of overcome or fight through, like, the root causes of those addictions, where it's like, whether mm-hmm. it be like, you know, depression, sadness over something, or like in my case, like high anxiety and, mm-hmm. and depression too. But instead of, you know, turning to the bottle or substance to, you know, for that temporary reprieve, like able to, you know, kind of just put myself back into my craft and use my craft to like overcome the issues too, rather than just you know, hiding behind another, or masking my feelings with another substance, and just kind of you know, reminding myself of like what, like who I am and what I can do.
Yes, there's something that you said earlier that I think is really, really important that bears repeating: the willingness to. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just about the willingness to stop whatever that addiction is. It's the willingness to do what you have to do to stop whatever that addiction is, because most people, whether consciously or subconsciously, know that that means facing their demons, you know, doing that shadow work, facing those things that have led you to do this to begin with. And that's really kind of the primary reason for the addiction. You're trying to escape it. And so basically, you know, somebody is telling you, in order to, for you to beat your addiction, you have to face what it is you've been trying to run away from all this time. You know, that's not an easy feat for anybody.
Exactly.
That's where magical practice can come in, like you said, you know, to help you maybe do some workings on yourself to help gain some strength, gain some clarity, open your eyes. You know, there's all kinds of different workings that you can do to help you make it through that process that you know is going to be a difficult process. So why make it more difficult on yourself? Why not use the magical practice to help yourself through those, to give you that courage and give you that resolve to do that?
Yep, exactly. I think another thing, like for me too, that kind of started to cause me to have some substance issues lately too, was feeling like a failure with my craft, with the one specific situation, like with, you know, my partner making it, you know, unrealistic when it comes to like the money magic.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the way it was almost like making me feel like a failure, because I wasn't able to, you know, do that overly fantasized money magic that he was kind of expecting from me. And so it's like, I would start to feel like really bad with bad about myself, bad about my situation. And then like trying to mask that with something else.
So your day drinking started as a way for you to try to move out of your depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
see,
just like
that's what started me on coke, because I grew up being abused by an alcoholic, so I associated the abuse with the alcohol instead of the person. So I jumped into coke so that way then I wouldn't sleep at night or during the day or anytime really. I would just do a line and then I'd go to school, or I'd do a line and then I would sit up all night and play on my phone or something, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like I would do a line and just go running, like really anything, and that made me feel elevated, you know?
Right. Yep. It exactly, like it kind of gave you that like motivation to do stuff, like that's how it kind of got for me too. It's like, I would like, it would help me to feel like kind of like happy, giddy, motivated rather than just like, yeah, just wallowing, I guess.
That makes a lot of sense.
But then it's like, it kind of gets out of hand. And like, with me, that's why I made like that, like conscious choice to stop. And that's why I got into therapy too, was because like, I'm like, I don't like this. I really don't like this. I don't like waking up in the morning and the first thing I do is open the ball.
I think, you know, going back to addiction to magical projects practice, I'm sure, even though I'm sure the scenario is usually the other way around, what we're talking about, you know, somebody with a normal, like, there's a such thing as a normal addiction, turning to the occult sciences. But I'm sure, you know, there are occasions where people are addicted to, you know, some sort of occult practice. And I think it, again, you know, not to beat a dead horse, goes back to balance, but also thinking to yourself, like, why am I focused on this? And I think it's addiction in general, like I said, is a form of escapism. Mm-hmm. You know? So what is it that you're trying to escape? Why do you feel like practicing magic continuously, you know, almost obsessively, like, what is it you're trying to escape? What are you trying to accomplish? So I think it's a much better and healthier addiction. That's my personal opinion, than other forms of addiction. But again, addiction, it's an addiction nonetheless. And I think that's when one has to kind of step back and rethink, am I balanced?
Right. I've heard people say too, like, if they one person in particular who thought that they had an addiction to their craft or their magical practice, it was because they liked inspiring fear in people. They felt like they wouldn't get pushed around with it, like, and so like they wanted people to know, like, they wanted to like be walking down the halls like threatening people with like spells and curses and all this stuff, because like they love like the fear that it inspired in people.
That's very telling. That's somebody with low self-confidence, you know, mm-hmm. who feels like they don't feel themselves empowered, so they're escaping to that, to, you know. But, you know, again, going back to, I think it's one of the many reasons why Carl Jung's shadow work process and practices have become so intertwined with the occult, because the learned occult practitioner of any kind knows that we have to watch out for things like that in ourselves, because that's, you know, again, and I keep going round and round saying the same things, and I apologize, but it's true. I go back to, again, what Jason said, which is, you know, the mental clarity, you know, to you have to be able to break down those walls within and really face yourself and break through that, so that when you do sit down to practice, it is a pure practice, you know, that you are not doing something because you're trying to take the easy way out. And I'm sorry, but for me, that's the easy way out. You know, facing yourself is a lot harder than saying, I'm just going to curse you.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree.
And while we're on the subject here, and this is the video about addictions, me and Jason have the addiction of filling our lungs with vapor or smoke or something, and then watching it as we exhale it out. But you and Mountain Gypsy Bellona have a very bad addiction.
What? What's the bad addiction?
Cigarettes.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Whatever when I'm right. Make fun of me when I'm wrong, but whatever me when I'm right.
I still smoke cigarettes on occasion too. because sometimes it's like it just doesn't cut it. Sometimes I want like the taste of a cigarette.
Oh, cigarettes are so nasty.
And yet you smoke them too. So don't even go there.
Yes, but the ones that I like to smoke with a menthol because they taste better. It tastes like a mint.
The reason point why I start... being is that irony of ironies as I smoke through this whole episode on addiction. And I recognize that it is an addiction. And you know what? I'm going to go back to Jason's thing. You have to want to. And you know what? I don't want to quit yet. I know that it's a crutch. I recognize that it's a crutch. And it is an unhealthy statement that I'm about to make. But it is a crutch that I feel like I need at the moment. And I'm not ready to let go of that crutch because I haven't yet figured out a better crutch or to not need that crutch at all. So do I have work to do? Damn straight I do. And I know that.
I like Mullen. I'm not a fan of the taste, but I like the way it makes my lungs feel after I smoke it.
I like it too. It
opens all your little vessels in your lungs, and it just makes your lungs feel better. Like you're getting more air in after you smoke Mullen rather than before. And the irony of that is real. Like, because you're smoking something, and smoking is supposed to like weaken your lungs, but no, with Mullen it's the exact opposite.
And it helps with like the breathing exercises too, that kind of help the anxiety and stuff.
You ever hear of an exercise called lion's breath?
Mm-mm.
It's when you take a deep breath in and then you exhale that breath with everything you got. And it's supposed to help with anxiety and depression and, you know, all that stuff.
I like that. Lion's breath.
Yeah, and then there's also the Wim Hof technique.
What's that?
It's when you go...
Oh, I feel like that would make me pass out.
That's why I don't do the Wim Hof technique, because it makes me really, really lightheaded. And if I go to stand up, then it's like wobble city, you know?
Right.
Well, on that note, especially with all my technical issues, is there anything else? Because if not, we probably need to wrap up before my laptop explodes or something.
Oh, no, I think we covered everything.
Okay, excellent.
Everything I wanted to say for it.
Apologies to everybody for any of the technical difficulties that you witnessed. Hopefully you didn't witness as much as I did, as I experienced. But thank you very much for joining. If you're new to our channel, don't forget to check out our other videos. Keep an eye out for the video that I will put out on cursing an addiction away. And on that note, say hi, Bested. On that note, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jason. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Clyde. And we will see you guys on the next episode.
Cool. Sounds good.
Bye.